Hey y'all, I'm your host Kaylee Bridges, and I want to welcome y'all to the very first episode of Start the Conversation. The Start the Conversation podcast was initially started as my gold award. If you know me, you know I've been in Girl Scouting for 13 years, and so in my final year, I decided that I was going to work towards my gold award, which is the highest achievement that you can get in Girl Scouts. And so with the gold award, you have to pick a issue that's prevalent in your community that you want to address and talk about and, you know, kind of change. And so for my gold award, I decided to address mental health and teen girls. Since I myself, I'm a teen girl, I've experienced things with my own mental health. I've seen other people around me go through things with their mental health. So I was like, why not mental health? For my very first episode, I decided that I was going to interview a former teacher, now mental health counselor, Mrs. Muriel. So Mrs. Muriel, I want to thank you for being here and donating your time. Teen mental health is something important to me, so I'm very excited to get your perspective and start the conversation. With that being said, let's dive in. Mrs. Muriel, would you like to introduce yourself and give us a little bit of your background?
Sure. So my name is Muriel Williams. I am a licensed professional counselor. I have been working as a licensed professional counselor for the past 6 years. I was formerly a teacher before I started counseling. I taught for about 10 years until I decided that teaching was no longer where I wanted to be. It was just something that I felt pulled to do. I felt pulled to leave the classroom and to be able to help and to support students and kids in a different way than I was currently doing.
What was like that point where you wanted to make that transition from teaching to counseling?
Yeah, so I was teaching at the time English as a second language and English reading and language arts to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And so I found that it was more so that I was dealing with more emotional concerns in the classroom that were impeding learning abilities. And so I went to my principal and I asked him if I could start a mentoring program. And so initially it started as being just an after school program where we had about maybe 10 to 15 girls that would come after school. We would do different etiquette type lessons, and I worked with a team in order to kind of just mentor and deal with some of the issues that they were dealing with. And then eventually he let me create an entire class for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade girls. And I called the class Hearts, and we talked about health, etiquette, academics, respect, time management, and sisterhood. And so it became a full year course in which I was able to identify some of the needs and struggles that teen girls were dealing with.
Being that you were, you know, dealing with teen girls for clearly a long time, so have you noticed mental health awareness in teens change over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say from the time I started working with teens, that was about in 2012 when we initially started, and it wasn't until 2014 that we started the class. And so for the past 10 years, I would say there's definitely been a shift in the amount of support that teenagers need. I feel like some of the issues are the same: anxiety, depression, trauma, but it's becoming more prevalent as social media is kind of what teens turn to for their guidance, whether it's a TikTok video about mental health or Instagram, looking at, you know, different girls and comparing themselves to other people's lives. I feel like, you know, even statistics have shown that depression rates are increasing as a result of social media, which has become more prevalent over the years. So some of the, you know, symptoms and things we're seeing as far as anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation are definitely increasing as time continues to pass.
I heard you talk about anxiety and depression and trauma, you know, they're still around. So would you say like those are the most common issues that you expressed, or like are there any others?
Yeah, those are some of the most common that you're seeing in teenagers nowadays. However, you're also seeing eating disorders being prevalent, as well as teen violence in relationships. Those are two others that are actually on the rise as we are dealing with the mental health crisis for teenagers in the United States.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with the violence in relationships. I feel like I've seen that firsthand, sadly. Based on your experience in education, what are some things that you think stop teens from speaking up about their mental health?
I think a lot of things stop teens from speaking up about their mental health. I think first and foremost, there has to be the openness in the family system. And a lot of times you find that there's a lot of stereotypes around mental illness in families, especially in the African American community, and actually the Latino community as well, is where people do not want to seek out help. It's almost a shame-based thing to seek help for from the community. It's kind of one of those, you know, what happens in the house stays in the house. We don't talk about the problems that go on at home. And it's just kind of this generational thing that's passed down to younger people who are, you know, more vocal and more open. And so it creates this shame base that keeps them from opening up about struggles that they're currently having.
With that being said about stereotypes stopping teens from speaking up about their mental health, what is some advice that you would give a teen that's hesitant about seeking help?
Yeah, first and foremost, I'd say, you know, trust the people that you're close to. And if there's that, especially if you're in a school system, if there's an adult that you feel comfortable talking to, not being afraid to reach out to them and seek, you know, support from them as a first step in order to seeking the help that you need. Because a lot of times, teens are going to their friends. And while friends can be helpful and friends do give good advice, sometimes teens can only help so much, right? Because other teenagers are also experiencing their own crises and things that they're not sure how to deal with. And so having someone with more experience and, you know, more capacity and ability to help is helpful. So I would say reach out to either a family member, cousin, teacher, pastor, someone in your circle that you feel that you can trust and is trustworthy, especially if you don't feel like you have that safety and security at home initially.
I know a lot of times people will recommend therapy, but you know, that's not always an option for everybody. So as an alternative to therapy, what are some other ways that teens can, I guess I'll say, properly manage their mental health?
Yeah, so again, just goes back to finding a trusted adult that they can turn to, because you're right, like therapy isn't always accessible. Some people don't have the means financially, insurance wise, or again, you don't have parents' consent, because parents have to consent for therapy for children under 18. So again, it'd be finding, you know, people that you can trust, leaning on if you're in the church, leaning on your youth group, your youth leaders to kind of help you navigate through that. And then also just maybe seeking out a mentor that you can confide in and have, you know, that confidence in. In addition to, I mean, there are some online resources that teenagers can, you know, they can use as far as like finding coping skills and learning different ways to manage anxiety by looking at like YouTube videos that therapists post. A lot of therapists nowadays are posting their content on YouTube or social media sites, but it's just important to find reputable sources and not just individuals that are posting mental health information on TikTok and Instagram, as a lot of the times it's not accurate. And so you're having these people that are becoming influencers speaking up about mental health issues without any factual or empirical evidence. So it's important to seek out an actual therapist, and typically they'll list their credentials and where they work, and you can kind of use those as trustworthy sources.
I know nowadays, like with the influencers, they talk about self-care. So do you think self-care is worth the hype? And like, if so, what are some of your favorite personal self-care practices?
Yes, I absolutely think self-care is worth the hype. It has become like this household name. Everybody talks about self-care, but nobody really talks about what self-care looks like. And so a lot of times I think people look at self-care as another task or something to do that takes more energy. And especially if you're depressed, thinking of self-care is probably the last thing on your mind. But self-care can be anything. Honestly, it could be something as simple as doing a facial mask, something as simple as doing your nails, walking outside and just taking a walk. It doesn't have to be anything really elaborate, especially for teenagers, right, who may not have the financial means to go get a massage or, you know, have a spa day, which is what a lot of people think self-care looks like. So it can be something as simple as playing with your dog, talking to a friend, drawing, writing in a journal. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. So some of my favorites that you ask are sleeping. Honestly, people don't understand the importance of sleep, okay? So you talk about anxiety and depression, and one of the main things people don't understand is that if you're not sleeping enough, if you're not eating enough, if you're not taking care of your body, those things increase your anxiety, which increases, you know, feelings of depression. So sleep is definitely one of my favorite pastime versions of self-care. I love a good nap. And so making sure you're sleeping, that's one of my favorites. Exercise, another one of my favorites, because of the endorphin boost that exercise gives you. So being able to get out and do something active and physical is another one of mine. And then, of course, just being able to spend time with friends and family. A lot of times we're so busy in our day-to-day, teenagers especially, you know, I think about how many clubs and, you know, things that teenagers are doing that cause them to be over, you know, extended, whether it's sports, clubs, preparing for college, studying for exams, and just not having that quality time with friends and family. So that's another one of my favorites.
Right. So I totally agree. Sleep has to be number one on my self-care list. I don't know. I do not get tired of sleeping. I feel like sleep can do so much for someone. But those are all the questions that I have for you today. Before I close, would you like to recommend any resources to our audience, any social media platforms you may know or anything like that?
Yeah, so I do want to go back and say, when you were asking about, you know, how teens can reach out if they don't have access to therapy, and one of the things I forgot to say is your school counselor. Typically, the school counselor or the mental health counselor, I know there's a new role on campus, is your best option for, you know, treatment and care in the school setting. So definitely reach out to your counselors if you need support. And as far as just like resources, Psychology Today is a good one for those individuals that are seeking a therapist. And you kind of just go in and put in where you live, your zip code, and you can filter it by whatever type of issue that you're looking for. And then just again, just finding social media sites that have reputable counselors and therapists that are posting information for teens, you know, regularly on their Instagram pages, but ensuring that they're actually licensed and credentialed.
So y'all heard it yourselves. You know, when you're on social media, make sure that the site, like if you're looking for mental health counselors or people talking about mental health, make sure that they're actually reputable. So Miss Mira, I just want to thank you again for your time and your perspective. And I want to thank the listeners. I hope that, you know, Miss Mira's perspective and this episode in general has taught you something and, you know, just encouraged you to start the conversation.